One of the great things about streaming our worship service on Facebook is that people get to watch from all over the country. And I was noticing a couple of people that are watching today, and I want to give you a shout out. First of all, Patricia West, from my Missouri friends and family here. Patricia West was my high school typing teacher. And Mrs. West, I want you to know that of all the things that I ever learned in high school, I use yours the most. I use it every day. So thank you for being my teacher and being faithful to teach us how to type. Also, Marcia Davis. Marcia Davis works at Midtown Market here in St. Charles. And we want you to know, Marcia, that we love you. We're so thankful for our hard workers at Midtown Market and all that you do to feed our community. So thank you guys for watching today. And we're thankful to have everybody with us as we worship together. As we think about, go ahead and turn over to Galatians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be today. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. This is a great scripture that Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and he's talking specifically about the gospel in this passage. And the gospel, obviously, is something that is very important to us as Christians. And it should be something that we are talking about to people each and every day if God gives us the opportunity. And the gospel, in its truest definition, literally means good news. That's what the gospel means. And it occurs 93 times in the Bible, pretty exclusively in the New Testament. And the gospel is the good news concerning Christ and the way of salvation. That's what the gospel is all about. And it relates to the saving acts of God. It's centered upon the person of Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. And its context is the storyline of the Christian Bible as a whole, which tells of the creation of humanity, humanity's rebellion against God, and how people from all nations are restored to a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And so in thinking about the gospel, a key theme of the gospel is that God offers new life. He offers forgiveness through Jesus. And so in our passage this morning, we're going to look at three very important aspects or things, if you will, about the gospel that every Christian should know, and then things that non-Christians should know about the gospel as well. So let's take a look at the scripture, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. Let's read it together. Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not based on human thought. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I persecuted God's church to an extreme degree and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach in him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, I am not lying in what I write to you. God is my witness. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches in Christ. They simply kept hearing, 'He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me.' And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word." And so, as I said, there's three things here in this scripture that I believe Paul is pointing out to us, three important things about the gospel that every Christian and every non-Christian who is interested in the gospel, things that we should know. So first of all, let's take a look at number one. Let's talk about the gospel's origin. The gospel's origin is God. And Paul makes that very clear here in verses 11 and 12. The gospel that Paul preached was the true gospel. It wasn't some fake gospel. It wasn't thought up by Paul. It wasn't thought up by any other person. It's not a belief or some kind of a story that's been handed down through traditions. The gospel has its origin in God Himself. Now, I've done some studies and I've read about anthropologists who study cultures, and they often talk about the human-centered origin of religion. And so these anthropologists, these scientists, they say that religion begins in its earliest form, that has it began with humans trying to find something in which to believe. And so we understand, though, without God's revelation, if we're left up to our own devices and our own intellect, what happens is people have created gods who represent power and sometimes even evil power. And so many times, if we're left up to our own devices to create this religious experience, we begin to say, okay, in my form of thinking, I'm the captain of my soul, if you will. And it's my job, it's my task to find and please these gods that I've created through human effort somehow. So I'm the captain of my soul. But Paul says here that the true gospel is not from man. It's from God. And so it cannot be a human invention, because the gospel, guys, think about this. Think about it for a minute. It cannot be from a human invention, because the gospel is totally opposite of pride and the love for power. It's not something that is selfish. The gospel is about grace. And we receive something that we didn't deserve in the gospel. Forgiveness of sins. That's what grace is. It's not based upon human effort or self-effort. We don't earn it. We don't have to work for it. We can't be good enough or go to church enough to receive forgiveness of sins. It's something that we've been given through Jesus Christ, something that we didn't deserve, and it's in fact the forgiveness of sins. And so this is what makes the true gospel and the way of salvation different from other types of religions that have been created by human beings. The gospel origin, the true gospel that Paul preaches here, its origin is God. But there's another thing that Paul mentions here. In verses 13 through 23, he talks about the gospel's offering. And we already mentioned it just a few minutes ago. The gospel's offering is grace. The gospel's offering is grace. In order to support his claim of the gospel coming from God, Paul does something here. And he does it here and he does it in other places. He shows how radically Christ had transformed his life from being a persecutor of the church to being an apostle of the church. Paul's life, if you know anything about Paul, and he mentions it here and in other places, his previous life included being one of the most religious people of his day. I mean, he was very into his religion. He was very into keeping all the rules and the traditions. He tediously and relentlessly kept all the traditions of his faith. And not only that, he sought out to persecute others who were not following in the way that he was following. He sought out to persecute those who were following Jesus because he felt like these people, followers of the way, if you will, they were an hindrance to what he thought was the true religion. And really, not only did he seek out to persecute the church, he says, I wanted to destroy it. He didn't want to just persecute the followers of Christ. He wanted to literally destroy anything to do with the church. He was totally convinced that Christianity was a false religion and that it was a threat to Judaism. And so Paul described himself as zealous. This was a term that was used to describe people who were very into their faith, sometimes even in a violent way, as they observed what they thought to be the laws of God. And so Paul had been very sincere in his zeal, but he realized, and he came to a point in his life where he was wrong. He realized he was wrong. Paul was a really bad guy. And you better not get in his way when it came to his persecution of the church. But guys, let me just say this. As bad as Paul was, he said, this was my previous life. This is who I was before. And I'm somebody different now. When he met Christ, his life dramatically changed forever. And he began to direct all his energy toward building the church up, building God's kingdom. Because God had got a hold of Paul's life. And his conversion only happened by the grace of God. It was God's grace that intervened in Paul's life as he was on that road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared to him and he said, Paul, why are you persecuting the church? And Paul, his life changed that day. He became somebody different. And what Paul wrote in these verses creates a brief account of his spiritual life. For us, this is called our personal testimony. We talked about that Wednesday night during the live stream Bible study that we did. Because, and we understood and we learned that an essential part of inviting others to believe in Christ involves telling them why and how we became a follower of Christ. And so thinking deeply about God, how He's worked in our lives graciously, those things can be, in fact, one of the best motivators in telling others about Jesus. What has happened to your life personally? What has happened to me personally? Those are the best ways that we can share with others the hope of Christ that lives within us. Let me ask you a question. If somebody gave you an opportunity, if you were out and about or you were talking to somebody on the phone or texting or whatever you do in order to communicate with people, if somebody gave you a 3-minute opportunity to say, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Would you be able to share that with them? Without stammering and stuttering around, would you be able to share your faith and how you came to know and believe in Christ? Would you be able to share your testimony? Paul was very quick to share his testimony with others. And he shared about the grace that had happened in his life. And the origin or the offering of the gospel is always, always the grace of God. And so as we share Christ with others, we have to emphasize the grace of God because it's good news. And then the final thing that Paul mentions here in this scripture is the gospel's objective. The gospel's objective, and he talks about it in verse 24, the very last verse, is glorification. You see, Paul's life had changed dramatically. And it brought joy to the believers who had heard about this radical transformation in his life. His new life really had kind of astonished them. They couldn't believe that Paul had gone from this one guy who was persecuting the church, that wanted to destroy the church, that wanted to destroy Christians, into this person who was completely different now. And because of it, they praised God because only God could have turned this zealous persecutor of Christians into a follower of Christ. Only the grace of God could have been able to do that. And let me just say, your testimony and my testimony may not have been as dramatic as a change as Paul's, but we have to still understand that we have a new life, and our lives should honor God in every way. And so when people look at you, let me ask you a question. Do they recognize that God has made changes in your life? Do they recognize that you're somebody different? Do they recognize that you are indeed a brand new person? And if not, maybe you're not living as you should, because our lives should begin to be different than they were before when we have met Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I like what Paul wrote in another book. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He said, old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. And so what he's saying there is once we become a follower of Christ, Paul says we become a brand new person with a brand new identity. He said the old self has passed away. The old refers to everything that is part of our old nature. That old way of pride, the love of sin, reliance on works, and our former opinions, our habits, our passions, what we feel is most important in life, all that begins to change. And most significantly, what we loved has passed away, especially the supreme love of self, and with it, the self-righteousness and the self-promotion, the self-justification that we have all been a part of. And this new person, the person who has been made new through Jesus Christ, looks outwardly toward Christ instead of inwardly toward self. Because Paul says the old things have died. Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with our sin. It's gone. It's over with. And we've become somebody new, somebody different. The people that Paul was in contact with noticed this true difference in his life, and they glorified God because of it. The new person delights in things of God. He abhors things of the world and the flesh, because here's what happens, guys, when we become a follower of Christ. All of a sudden, our priorities begin to change. How we spend our time, how we spend our money, what we're involved in, our purposes, our feelings, our desires, and our understandings, they're all fresh. They're all different. We see the world differently. And there are new feelings toward people that maybe we hated before. A new kind of love toward family members and friends. A new compassion never before felt toward enemies. And a new love for all of mankind. The things that we used to love, now we detest. The sin that we held on to, we now desire to be put away forever. And this is the change that comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus. Our lives should become a living testimony of God's grace and His mercy and His power. And our lives should bring glory to God. We don't promote our difference, how we are differently now than we were before, so that people will praise us. We don't talk about the old way of life versus the new us now so that people say, wow, he's a really good guy. We do it to put the spotlight on God. We do it to glorify God. If you look at the life of Jesus, you go back and read through the Gospels, when Jesus did miracles, when Jesus did amazing things, he always gave credit to God. He always gave the glory to God. He always put the spotlight on God. And so when we share our testimony with others, we say, this is who I was before, and this is who I am now, and he's changed me. We do it in a way to put glory on God. He did it, not me. God did it, not anybody else. And so the gospel's objective should be glorification. A gentleman by the name of A.B. Simpson wrote these words of the gospel. He once said this. He said, the gospel tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven opened wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, and sorrow and misery of the fall undone. And I love the way that reads, because that is the gospel right there. And so maybe this morning, guys, as you're sitting there in your homes or wherever you are, you could honestly say, you know what, Pastor? I don't really understand what the gospel is all about. I've heard a lot about it. I basically know what it means. It means Jesus died on the cross. But you've really never internalized it. You've never ever come to a point in your life where you've said, I want to receive the gospel into my life. And so maybe this morning you can honestly say that you don't understand about the gospel, and maybe you want to know how you too can become a follower of Christ. I want to take just a couple of minutes here at the end to explain what the gospel means and how you can find hope in Jesus. And I'm going to use a method called the three circles. It was written by a man named Jimmy Scroggins. He's a pastor down in Florida, and our North American Mission Board has promoted this as a great way of sharing the gospel with other people who want to hear. And so this is what I'm going to do this morning. It's the three circles. You can look it up on the internet and find models to look at, and there's PowerPoints to go along with it, and you could look it up later. But I'm going to share that with you this morning. It's called the three circles. We live in a broken world. surrounded by broken lives and broken relationships and broken systems. And this brokenness is seen in suffering and violence and poverty and pain, things that we're seeing right now among us, and death. And brokenness always leads a way for us to search to make things right. But in contrast to the brokenness, we do see beauty. We see purpose and evidence of God's design around us. And the Bible says that God had originally planned for a world that worked perfectly, where everything and everyone fit together in harmony, because God has made each of us with a purpose to worship Him and to walk with Him. And He has a design for every part of our lives. This includes our family, our marriages, our relationships, our money, our jobs, everything. The problem is that there's something inside of us many times that makes us want to go our own way. But the Bible doesn't, but life doesn't work when we ignore God. It doesn't work when we ignore God's original design for our lives. And the Bible calls this sin. And guys, we all sin. We all mess up. We all fall short, the Bible says. And the consequences of sin is separation from God in this life and in all of eternity. And so sin leads to a place of brokenness. And again, we see this all around us in our own lives as well. It could be in a bad relationship. It could be in something internal like an addiction or feeling empty and alone. And so often we find ourselves in brokenness and we want to find a way out so that we can alleviate the brokenness. And so we go on a search. And perhaps we go in many directions trying different things to find out the way of being broken, a way out of the brokenness, because we want to end the pain that we're in. But what happens is many times we find ourselves right back in the brokenness that we started in. And we know something needs to change, but we just can't quite figure it out. Here's the good news, guys. Here's the good news. At this point, we need a remedy. It's called the gospel. The gospel. This is a Bible word that means good news. The Bible says that because of His love, God provides a way out of the brokenness. He sent His Son down from heaven to earth to rescue us. And Jesus never departed from God's design. He never sinned one time. And He did for us what we can never do for ourselves. He took our sin and shame upon Himself. He was crucified on a cross. He paid the penalty of our sin by His death. And so the Bible says He came from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. And then He came back to life after He died. And this proves something. It proved that He was for real. It proved that He was God's gift to sinners. This is the reason the resurrection matters. We're going to celebrate Easter in just a few weeks. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. It's the reason it matters. It's worth something. Because God had provided a way for us through His Son Jesus to be rescued and restored into a relationship with God. But let me just say this. Simply hearing about the gospel, simply having a head knowledge is not enough. We have to do something. We have to admit our sinful brokenness to God. We have to ask God to forgive us. We have to turn away from our sin. The Bible defines this turning away from our sin with the word repent. And so we have to repent. We also have to believe something. What do we have to believe? We have to believe in what Jesus did for us on the cross. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. And so when we repent and believe, God turns our lives into a new direction. He restores our relationship with Him, and we begin to discover meaning and purpose in our broken world. And then and only then can we begin to recover and pursue God's design in all the areas of our lives. He gives us a brand new identity that we talked about before, and we belong to Him forever. He begins to repair our brokenness with this design if we'll obey His word and we'll follow Him. So let me ask you a question, guys. How will you respond to Jesus today? How will you respond to the gospel? God wants you to respond to Him. He wants to enter your life. He wants to give you hope and forgiveness. He wants to make a place in heaven for you where you will spend eternity. And if you would like to commit your life to Jesus, I would like to lead you in a prayer this morning, a prayer of commitment. And guys, let me just say that the key to Jesus changing your life and you becoming a new person is not found in a prayer, not a magical prayer we pray. I really can't explain the transformation that God does, although He just does it. He comes into your life and He makes you somebody different. He changes your heart. And if you come to Him in a way that is humble, in a way that is that you are just pouring out your heart that you need Him, the Bible says that He will change your heart too. If you want to change, if you want to have that assurance, if you want to know Jesus personally, I ask you to pray this prayer of commitment with me. And so we can bow together. You can bow right where you are. I'm just going to guide you in what to pray. And I want you to understand, again, there's nothing magical about these words. But it's simply a commitment that we can make to God between us and Him right now. And so I want to guide you in this prayer. And if you want to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come to Him humbly and pray this prayer. Say, Lord, my life is broken because of my sin. And I need You in my life. I believe Jesus came to live and die and was raised again to rescue me from my sin. I ask You to forgive me. I turn away from my selfish ways. I put my faith and my trust in You. And this morning, I want You to be my Lord and my Savior. And I will follow You for the rest of my life. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand something, that if you prayed that prayer of commitment this morning, the Bible makes it very clear. You have become a follower of Christ. You belong to Jesus now, and He belongs to you. And that relationship can never be broken. You can't lose it. Once you're part of God's family, you're part of His family forever. You have received eternal life now, and you belong to Him. But I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to tell someone. Maybe you've got a family member that you know is a Christian. Tell them the commitment you just made. You can email me. You can put a comment on Facebook right now. We'll contact you and get a hold of you somehow and talk to you further about the decision you've made today. The point is I want to ask you to tell someone. Because first of all, it's exciting news. And people want to celebrate with you. They want to rejoice with you. And the Bible says that when a sinner turns in repentance and puts his faith and trust in God, that all of heaven rejoices. And so this morning, if you prayed that prayer of commitment, literally, all of heaven is rejoicing today in the commitment that you've made. That's how wonderful and powerful this commitment is. So please make sure you tell someone. Because we want to celebrate with you. We want to help you grow and mature in your faith. We want to help you get to the next steps in your relationship with Christ.